On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Rourke, who's very excited to be joining such a great network with a great fan base of listeners around Broncos country all across the United States of America and here within Colorado. I look forward to bringing you the latest breaking news, matchups, and analysis Monday through Friday, even covering breaking down game film and going over it here live on Locked On Broncos. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Broncos, as well as the website will be up very soon, LockedOnBroncos.com, where there'll be daily writing content and much more. I'm very excited. So tonight's episode, we're going to bring a lot to you. We're going to talk about Trevor Siemian being named the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos as of yesterday. He had his first official day as the number one quarterback officially today at practice in Dove Valley, as well as the Denver Broncos gaining some good news with Shaquille Barrett being cleared to resume some football activities. Denver Broncos hope to get him back very early, fairly in the season. He may not be ready week one, but he will be ready eventually. And joining me here tonight, I have a special guest, Chad Jensen, former host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, now editor-in-chief and publisher over at Mile High Huddle, and the host of the Huddle Up podcast. Chad Jensen, great guy. I have a lot of respect for him. I've been listening to Locked On Broncos for quite some time. Very admirable of Chad's work, and I look forward to talking about Trevor Siemian, John Elway's draft history, as well as getting Shaquille Barrett back, and who stood out to him in the first couple of weeks of preseason. Chad Jensen joins me here on Locked On Broncos. Definitely very excited to have Chad Jensen here. Join me here live on Locked On Broncos. Chad, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. Congratulations to you, my friend, on your new gig.
Thank you, man. You know, I'm very excited. You know, when I looked at Locked On Broncos, I had them on my iTunes thing. I always knew there was a loyal fan base following. And when I got onto the Twitter account today, the love, the support was absolutely, you know, phenomenal. Just everybody loves their Broncos, and I think you've done a great job over the years, especially bringing fans with an objective perspective that's not biased. You tell it how it is. You actually present real football scenarios and facts into it, and that's what I look forward to carrying on. It's something that you've kind of set up in past episodes, so I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you rock and roll with it, man. I appreciate the kind words.
Absolutely. So Chad Jensen joins me here on Locked On Broncos, and obviously first thing we want to talk about is the latest breaking news around Dove Valley. Everyone's been talking about it all summer. We had the decision 2017 created by 104.3 The Fan, but at the end of the day, Trevor Siemian was announced yesterday as the Broncos starting quarterback by Vance Joseph on Solar Eclipse Day nonetheless. So it was a pretty crazy day, to say the least, in Dove Valley outside of football. What are your thoughts, Chad, on Trevor Siemian? Obviously, being a second-year starter now, beating out Paxton Lynch 2 years in a row. Last year, under a different system with Gary Kubiak and that kind of offense they had over there with the zone blocking scheme under center, transitioning to Mike McCoy now, where a lot of it's going to be shotgun, and you're going to have a lot more options, abilities to audible out of things compared to, you know, how you used to be with Gary Kubiak. What is Trevor Siemian outlook for you, in your opinion? What is he going to do this year? What does he have to do in order to improve from last year's 9-7 record?
I think Trevor Siemian has a big year in front of him. I think it's another great opportunity. And look, you know, I did a piece on this over the weekend after the game. I watched the game, and just like everybody, jumping off the screen was the realization that Trevor Simeon's the man. Let's just move beyond the decision and face facts. Trevor Siemian is going to be Denver's starting quarterback. And so what I did is I took a step back and I put out a piece. I think it was actually a video. And basically my argument was, if you go back and look at his win-loss record as a first-time starter in his second year, former seventh-round pick, he goes, starts 14 games, does pretty good for a guy that with that little of experience. You look at his stat line. I don't have it right out in front of me right now. But if you were to look at that and say, you know what, let's pretend that those were Paxton Lynch numbers and that he started last year, not Trevor Siemian. I think at this point throughout the summer, throughout the whole offseason, the general narrative around Paxton Lynch would be, oh, look, John Elway was right. Look at the first rounder. His numbers were solid as a rookie starter. You know, he's a budding franchise quarterback. He's got all these great things on the horizon. People would be comparing him to Jameis Winston, for crying out loud, if it were Paxton Lynch that put up those numbers. But it wasn't. It was Trevor Siemian, a guy who is a seventh round pick, a guy guy a lot of people didn't believe was even deserving to be drafted, even as late as he was in the seventh round. And what does that tell me? It's that seventh round guys, undrafted guys, they basically have to work twice as hard to get half the credit, right? And so for Trevor Siemian, I think, you know, the Broncos were faced with a very, very difficult situation where they had to kind of weigh their priorities. Do they want to win now? Do they want to capitalize on the defense that they have and the phenomenal talent across the board and try and win now and compete for another championship? Or do they want to try and graft Paxton Lynch or force Paxton Lynch into that picture? You can't. They tried to speed it up, the development of Paxton Lynch, and they ultimately came to the conclusion that they are two differing philosophies. If they want to win now, it can't be Paxton Lynch. It has to be Trevor Siemian. And I think for us to see signs of him moving forward and progressing, just showing, continuing to show command and poise, I think really there's two areas in which Trevor Siemian needs to improve, and that's on third down. He needs to do a better job of pushing the ball beyond the sticks on third down and also being more productive in converting in the red zone. And I think if he can do those two things, not only will his numbers go up, but you'll see the Broncos win a lot more games this year.
You know, I think you hit it right on the head too. You know, a lot of people were saying that, you know, you might as well sit Trevor Siemian and let Paxton Lynch develop and go through the growing pains. But if you hear John Elway speak, the common thing that he said year after year is that the Denver Broncos want to be in position to compete every single year for world championships. With this kind of defense that the Denver Broncos have, I don't see John Elway really putting a guy out there who's not ready. And we've seen it. Paxton Lynch does not appear ready yet, just yet, to take the starting reins away from the quarterback spot. But it doesn't mean he can't be ready. I've already seen people label him as a bust. We can't label him as a bust yet because he just hasn't had the real opportunity to really do it. And I think he still needs to develop, which I've always begged, you know, I've always talked with big guys like former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson. We talked about, you know, there needs to be some form of element within the NFL that will allow quarterbacks to develop. You know, what do we see with Brock Osweiler? He sat year after year behind Peyton Manning and eventually got his turn, and he came out and he looked a lot more ready for a guy who's never played in an NFL game before, never played a real NFL snap in the regular season. When Peyton Manning gets hurt, or as they say, he was benched in the Kansas City game, he came in, and from that point forward, they competed, they won games, he looked different, and he won them the game. He helped big time in that overtime victory over the New England Patriots in 2015. Now he goes away to a different system, to a different thing, and he has struggles in Houston, and now he may even struggle to start in Cleveland. My point is, I feel like the NFL and a lot of organizations have made the mistake of throwing guys into the fire too early when they're not ready. And I think we can make a case for a guy like Blake Bortles to be an example of a guy who had a lot of upside, has a lot of talent, but I feel like his confidence has been absolutely diminished because he's been thrown into the fire on a Jacksonville Jaguars team that's not quite ready to compete yet, in my opinion. And he's getting a bad rep from his receivers and all the media reports. And the media, in my opinion, I feel like the media has controlled a lot of how people view the quarterbacks. And a lot of it is, you know, you want to go with the guy you drafted in the first round. Well, Vance Joseph and John Elway came out and said it first. Your draft status doesn't matter where you play. It's all about making plays, getting on the field, and executing. And we simply saw more of that from Trevor Siemian in the preseason this year than we did from Paxton Lynch, you know. And I thought Paxton Lynch looked a lot more comfortable week two against the San Francisco 49ers. He dropped back. He looked a lot more comfortable in the pocket. However, completing 9 passes for 39 yards and missing the biggest critique of the game for Paxton Lynch was he missed Demaryius Thomas wide open underneath, which would have got him a first down to extend the chains. You know, I feel a lot of the bad rep that these quarterbacks get is, you know, Denver looks, you know, fans look at the 9-7 record. Well, Trevor Siemian was hurt in one of those games, didn't play that they lost in. Fortunately, Paxton Lynch played well enough that the Broncos won against the Jaguars, but lost to the Falcons. Now, we look at the Tennessee Titans game. We look at games like the New Orleans Saints, where Trevor Siemian showed a lot of poise. Trevor Siemian took some shots. You know, he played injured a majority of the season with a separated shoulder and his non-throwing shoulder. And he had moments where he had the if factor, that touchdown drop by Benny Fowler against Tennessee. That could have been a difference maker. Another drop by Benny Fowler in the Sunday Night Football game against the Chiefs at home in overtime. That could have been a difference maker. We're talking about one or two plays could have been the difference between 9-7 and 11-5. And I feel like Trevor Siemian doesn't get enough credit for that. He was a few hundred yards away from throwing for 4,000 yards, throwing 18 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, which isn't that bad for a guy who's a seventh round pick. I just feel like a lot of the media and a lot of fans don't understand that we haven't seen necessarily just yet what Trevor Siemian's ceiling is, in my opinion. He still has room to develop. And any quarterback, I'd say, if they haven't played within 3 or 4 years in the NFL if they haven't played for those amount of years on the field as a starter. You can't label them as a bust yet because there's still room to develop. Now, if we're having the same conversation 4 to 5 years after he starts, then absolutely we can have that conversation that, you know what, maybe this is who Trevor Siemian is. Maybe he didn't develop all the way, and maybe this is who he's going to be. But we don't know that yet. So I'm very excited under Mike McCoy and obviously Bill Musgrave, who's done a tremendous job. Look at Derek Carr over the years, a transformation for him. He's developed very nicely over there in Oakland, which makes them a prime threat in the AFC West now. Going from that, I think Bill Musgrave's development with both these quarterbacks is going to be imperative going forward in the future for the Denver Broncos. You know, what are your thoughts on the coaching staff being brought in to help these quarterbacks kind of adjust to this learning curve?
Well, I think they brought in a powerhouse staff. I mean, you look at Mike McCoy. He's got experience as a head coach, play caller, going back years and years. Bill Musgrave, experience as a play caller. Even Jeff Davidson, the offensive line coach, has been a play caller in this league. So there's a lot of brain power in terms of football acumen backing these guys up. And Trevor Siemian, I think, you know, it's in today's day and age, if you don't have the perfect personnel, it's not easy to execute the West Coast offense that Gary Kubiak, Rick Dennison, Greg Knapp employed those first 2 years, or those only 2 years Kubiak was the head coach. And that's one of the reasons why you saw it struggle. It would have taken time in order for them to draft and acquire the right amount, the right kind of personnel, I should say, in order for the West Coast, you know, their version of the West Coast offense and the zone blocking scheme to really thrive and grow into something. And I think playing under center, it just makes it more difficult, especially for young quarterbacks to read the defense, see the field. So playing out of the gun, there's not a quarterback on the planet, not one, who would not prefer to play out of the shotgun. So you're going to see a lot more of that this year. Not that they won't ever play under center. They will at times. We've seen them do it in the preseason already. But it's going to be more about creating mismatches in space, giving Siemian an opportunity to get the ball to guys underneath where they can make plays, you know, like Isaiah McKenzie, Demaryius Thomas, all the bubble screens. You think back to the time when Mike McCoy was offensive coordinator, and then even the 2 years after that with Adam Gase, who built his offense, of course, on the bones of Mike McCoy's system. The bubble screens that you can remember, those 80-yarders Demaryius Thomas taking to the house, you're going to see more of those type of plays. But at the same time, you know, they're going to pick their opportunities in which to challenge the defense vertically. And, you know, you go back to credit, Siemian getting the credit he deserves. Vance Joseph talked about that on Monday when they announced Trevor Siemian as the starter. He talked about a few different examples of Siemian not getting the credit he deserves. And you know what? Interestingly enough, one of those was his arm. He says, you know, Trevor Siemian actually gets quite a bit of shade thrown his way for having a quote unquote weak arm. Well, Vance Joseph, who former quarterback himself and a guy who's been fully immersed in football and coaching at the highest levels for years and years, says that his arm is strong and that his arm is very underrated. So basically the whole fan base, and I shouldn't say the whole fan base, but much of the fan base and really the NFL world at large, I think, has sold Trevor Siemian short. And this year, I mean, you hear about quarterbacks taking a big jump between years 1 and 2, and there's no doubt about that. But typically, if you go back, pick any quarterback and go back and just be a box score scout for a minute and forget the film, just look at the stats. You'll see most quarterbacks who are established in this league, who you could define as franchise quarterbacks, you'll see the biggest jump in terms of disparity in statistical production between years 2 and 3. So I think Trevor Siemian has a big opportunity this year to really solidify himself as not just the guy who won't go away in Denver, but as a viable option the Broncos can build around. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos do well early on. You know, let's say they come out of the bye and they're 3-1 or better. I wouldn't be surprised if John Elway just says, you know what, let's give Trevor Siemian a 3-year extension and, you know, let's offer him $7-8 million a year and see if he'll take it now, because right now he's making like $583,000, which is really, if you look at starting quarterbacks in the NFL, he would be the lowest paid starter in the league. So I wouldn't be surprised if things go well. You know, they still have Lynch there. They still have that pull and that draw back to the investment they made in the first round. But if Siemian does continue to develop and you see him excel and they see the offense produce and you see the Broncos win, I wouldn't be shocked to see them lock Simeon up with a relatively short-term extension, something like 3 years and $7-8 million a year.
You know, I think the important thing, and you mentioned, is, you know, he did play pretty well. He has the opportunity to develop. When I look back at last season, it was frustrating in terms of offensively. As a fan, as an analyst, you're watching it. It was frustrating because I feel like the Broncos offense sputtered as soon as C.J. Anderson went down with an injury. Injuries absolutely battered the run game, and even Devontae Booker played banged up a little bit. So it was hard for the Denver Broncos to find some solidarity. They're forced to bring in Justin Forsett, former ties to Gary Kubiak out of Baltimore. But the thing was, is, you know, it was a very predictable offense at the point where defenses knew, even on second and one, third and one, where the offense was running the ball to. There was even no counter action. It was, they would stack the box, they'd pinch and double eyes, and they would stunt their linebackers, and they have that great edge contained. And in the NFL, most NFL teams have very good edge defenders. So the run game became obsolete. We didn't really see any jump after C.J. Anderson went out in the run game necessarily until week 17 against the Oakland Raiders, where Devontae Booker ran wild. Trevor Siemian had a great game against a team that was heading to the playoffs the next week against the Houston Texans. You know, I think that was very positive stuff that the team could build on going forward, that I think, you know, really influenced Trevor Siemian's work ethic. I feel like as a quarterback, as either Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian, hearing all the media talk, hearing all the, you know, the blog reports about the quarterback play and this guy's doing bad, this guy's doing good, this guy's not having consistency at camp, you know, you had to tune that out. And even though you're an NFL athlete, sometimes it's hard. But one thing I did notice is Trevor Siemian came out in the second quarter, you know, in the 2-minute drill against the 49ers, and he looked comfortable. He dropped back. He didn't even stare down one side of the field. He dropped straight back where the safety could, you know, couldn't necessarily read where he was going to go with his eyes. And he fired quick balls, and he fired, his ball placement was much better. His release was much quicker, and it looked like it was in a place where the receiver could get it. And that back shoulder throw to Jordan Taylor was a thing of beauty. And I feel like that might be something we might see quite a bit this year, pending if Jordan Taylor makes the 53-man roster as well, which, you know, I'm looking forward to. Unfortunately, NFL, for the Denver Broncos, they've got some hard decisions they've got to make here in the next couple weeks regarding trimming their roster down from 90 to about 53, which, you know, it's a hard time of the year for anybody at that point. But, you know, it's also exciting because you can make some roster moves in terms of injury with guys coming back. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the Broncos had some good news today with Shaquille Barrett being cleared to resume some football activities. And apparently today in practice, he looked good in one-on-ones, and apparently bull rushed Garrett Bowles today and knocked him to the ground. So, you know, what are your thoughts on having Shaquille Barrett back? I know we didn't see much of him last season, but the year before, when he stepped up for DeMarcus Ware, who was injured, even Shane Ray, when Shane Ray was injured, he stepped in and he had 5 sacks, and he played pretty well for the Denver Broncos and came up big. He got pressure on Tom Brady, especially in that first matchup in the regular season. Shaquille Barrett's very underrated. Having him back is huge, especially with Shane Ray out. How much pressure will that take off of Von Miller?
Well, I think it's certainly going to give Von Miller a lot more confidence when he goes out and lines up. And we should see Von for a little bit anyway against the Packers this weekend. But, you know, you look at Shaquille Barrett and you think about his breakout season 2015, as you say, coming on strong, chipping in, you know, five and a half sacks, whatever it was. Then last year, the statistical production wasn't there, but his actual impact, going from being a box score scout to actually studying the film, Shaquille Barrett was a phenomenal presence. I mean, he found a way to make an impact on the game whenever he was in, whether it was setting the edge or creating and putting pressure on the quarterback. He did find a way to be productive. And even though those sacks were elusive and he just couldn't quite get there on many plays, he definitely made an impact and was a huge contributor to the Broncos, being able to continue their reign of dominance, even though they took a step back against the run. As a passing defense, of course, the second year in a row that they were the number one unit in the league, they're looking at would be the first time in NFL history. It'd be unprecedented for a team to actually finish number one against the pass 3 years in a row. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do that again this year. But getting back to his impact with the Broncos, I mean, outside of that first series or two against Chicago in the preseason, we haven't seen much, if any, of a pass rush from Kasim Edebali, Vontarius Dora, Ken Ekinem, Deion Hollins. I mean, Kasim Adebali had a couple of nice pressures. And in fact, you could chalk up Chris Harris's pick six to the pressure he put on the quarterback in that situation. But if you look at the Niners game, I mean, most of the pressure that was coming on those quarterbacks, that was coming from the interior. It's coming from the big five techs and even the nose guards pushing the pocket from the inside. So there wasn't much of an edge presence. You know, if the Broncos weren't so dinged up at outside linebacker right now, I would say Montarius Dora has little to no chance to make this roster, but he probably is going to by virtue of the fact that the Broncos are going to need bodies at the position until about week two, which is, you know, Shane Ray could always come back sooner, but when Shane first injured his wrist and it was announced, Coach Joseph said that they expect him back about week two of the regular season. So that means guys like Montarius Dora probably going to get at least 2 weeks on the active roster. Kasim Adebali is making this team, but you heard Vance Joseph talk about it on Tuesday. He said that that outside edge group just looks different with Shaq Barrett there. And as you say, had a couple of impressive, notable one-on-ones in individual drills going up against Garrett Bowles. So Shaquille Barrett, a very underrated player. Even Von Miller on Tuesday talked about, look, if he was on any other team, not only would he be starting, but he would be the premier edge rusher of that team. And while, you know, I'll definitely defer to Von Miller's knowledge of the game as far as, I mean, he's out there, he knows what it takes. I don't know if I would go quite so far as to say he would be a premier guy, but he's up there. I mean, if you look at the number three guy coming in off the edge for most teams, I don't think there's any team in the league who has a better number three rusher coming in to not only set the edge, but put pressure on the quarterback than Shaquille Barrett and the Broncos.
You know, I think the important thing too, when you look at it, is when they had DeMarcus Ware before he retired, Denver had four pass rushers. They were at least, CBS, NFL on CBS did a segment on them 1 week called Pass Rush University, where you had DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller on one side. And you know what? When DeMarcus Ware needed a blow, guess what? You had a guy like Shane Ray, a guy who was going to bring it every single play. Von Miller needs a rest on a certain play. We'll enter Shaquille Barrett, and the production still, it doesn't drop off, and it didn't drop off in 2015. That right there is very special. You know, part of me, the biggest question I have for the Denver Broncos this year is, you know, obviously losing a defensive mind like Wade Phillips to the Rams, which I think that's a great opportunity for him and that franchise over there. They have a great chance this year to be great. I do think, you know, I have a lot of question marks regarding, you know, just expertise, you know, experience. You know, Joe Woods, all the players love Joe Woods. Defensive players say he's got a great mind, he's just like Wade Phillips, but does he have the same ability to adjust late in the game when something's not working like Wade Phillips was able to and make the quick adjustment, you know, before a big play could happen? I don't know yet. We have yet to see that. I know play calling in the preseason has been kind of vanilla because teams don't want to expose their hand yet. Obviously, you know, when you have preseason, you have film, your opponent gets that kind of film. You don't want to show your full hand yet. So I understand that's what the Broncos are doing. They've been kind of vanilla with their pass rush. I think they were a little more aggressive week one against Chicago, and I think they kind of took the foot off the pedal a little bit against the 49ers. But even against the 49ers, Kasim Adebali had a really explosive chance to sack the quarterback, to sack Brian Hoyer, and I think he got juked out by the play fake, and he stopped on the play, and he threw it across the middle. It was incomplete, but at that point, I was like, you know, you got to have your head up, you got to have your eyes up, especially coming off the edge. If you're attacking that tackle in the base of his chest, you got to watch, obviously, the play, you know, the play action fake. The guard's going to tell you, you know, if he's coming forward, it's a run. If he steps back, it's a pass. And, you know, with play action, it's about a half second longer than it would be a normal play out of shotgun. But, you know, I think that the Denver Broncos, you know, the main cause of concern was when Shane Ray got hurt initially was, what are they going to do about a pass rush? You know, they don't have DeMarcus Ware anymore. And these two guys who were replacing DeMarcus Ware, they're injured. And you got Von Miller who draws double team, even triple team sometimes. They'll double team him with a guard tackle or a tight end in tackle. And if he gets upfield, they have the tailback block. And so we saw a lot of that. And Von Miller gets held a lot. I'd probably say he gets held probably 10 times a game and it doesn't get called. It's just a dynamic kind of player he is. NFL offensive coordinators game plan specifically against guys like Von Miller. So, you know, I think when you look at the Denver Broncos defense on paper, I think they have the formula to be great again. I want to see them carry it over. But like you said, if the defensive backfield for the third year in a row, which hasn't been done, becomes the number one passing defense, that's truly monumental. That might be Hall of Fame worthy in a sense for what they've accomplished with those three guys, with TJ Ward, you know, Darian Stewart, Chris Harris Jr., Keith Tlaib, and Bradley Roby. You know, in my opinion, Bradley Roby's a starting cornerback on 30 different NFL franchises right now. You know, he's got the opportunity. He's that good, you know, and I'm glad Denver locked him up for a four-year extension. But, you know, I appreciate you jumping on here real quick before we get off air. I'd like to ask you, you know, Chad, what player on the Denver Broncos so far in preseason has wowed you the most that you look at, you're like, okay, this guy is going to make the 53-man roster, and this guy could play this year. What guy, if you could name one guy, who's that guy, and why are you excited about him?
I'll give you one on each side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, it's no question for me, it's D'Angelo Henderson. And it's really interesting because you go back, and I have to tip my hat to Eric Trickle, who's our senior draft analyst over at Mile High Huddle. He does a series each and every year called Finding Broncos, where in that kind of dead time after the Super Bowl and leading up to draft day and the combine and all that, he studies a ridiculous, maniacal, sick amount of film and produces scouting reports on players to determine their fit with the Broncos. Is this a prospect that would fit? Is this someone Denver should pursue, et cetera? And one guy that he landed on early was D'Angelo Henderson out of Coastal Carolina. And it was interesting to see the Broncos end up picking him in the sixth round. And honestly, I mean, he's a guy who thus far through training camp and two preseason games looks like the best running back on the Denver Broncos. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Broncos had a running back that twitchy, that I mean, his name, obviously, Hop Henderson. You can see how he earned that with that jump cut and that twitch ability, that quick twitch ability in the open field where he can just juke guys. I mean, every time he touches the ball, if you get him in space, he's breaking two or three tackles. He will get to the second or third level. So he's a guy that, you know, depending on what happens with Jamal Charles this weekend, he's going to see a lot of reps early and often against Green Bay. Depending on what happens there, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point early on in the season, Henderson is splitting reps with C.J. Anderson. And beyond this year, the Broncos aren't on the hook for any guaranteed money with regard to C.J. Anderson. So if Henderson does go on to be very productive and can manage to stay healthy, I don't see the Broncos actually even bringing C.J. Anderson back next year. But my other guy, I'll be a little bit more brief, is Jamal Carter, the safety. Now, unfortunately, undrafted rookie out of Miami, we didn't get to see much out of him in San Francisco because he had a knee contusion early in the game. Fortunately, he's back to practice and is going to be fine, but he's a guy that is not only impressing the analysts and the fans and the onlookers, but he's impressing his teammates. Even today, Tuesday, C.J. Anderson, when asked, you know, what undrafted guys do you think has the best chance to make the roster, he said Jamal Carter. So he's a guy that you know, they've been with Brandon Marshall and Todd Davis, both nursing injuries and the coaches wanting to be precautious. They've been playing Carter basically as another inside linebacker next to Corey Nelson and Zaire Anderson. So you've seen a lot of that big nickel sub package where the Broncos will end up having three safeties on the field, but Carter will be down in the box basically playing linebacker. They've showed an enormous amount of trust and belief in him for a rookie, an undrafted rookie, whether it's in coverage, going one-on-one against tight ends in the red zone, whether it's blitzing off the edge, whether it's, and we've seen him be able to square up and make tackles. The biggest knock on Jamal Carter coming out of Miami and why so many analysts believed he went undrafted was that he took poor angles and was not a good tackler. But so far, up to this point, we've seen him do very well in that regard. So I'm high on him. I'm high on Hop Henderson. Those are my two guys that have surprised me the most through the early stages of the preseason.
You know, those are guys that have stood out to me. Obviously, you know, D'Angelo Henderson got some reps with the ones during training camp. We heard about his explosive ability, you know, during camp. And then when we saw him week one preseason against the Chicago Bears when he came in, had that amazing run. He had several great runs. A couple of them got called back by holds. You know, penalties hurt the Broncos in that phase. But you saw what D'Angelo Henderson could bring to the table. And for me, I think it made it, you know, a lot more difficult for this, you know, for the staff to determine, okay, who they're going to keep at tailback. You know, you got Devontae Booker out right now with an injury. You've got C.J. Anderson, who's a veteran, who's, you know, had an injury history. You got a guy right now in Jamal Charles, who's an unknown coming off ACL surgery and reconstructive repair last year after rushing his recovery back. And then you got, you know, Stavon Ridley, who you brought in, and he's coming off ACL surgery too, but he's looking hungry. He's looking for redemption, so you make it interesting for the Broncos. But I think Henderson is an absolute lock for the Denver Broncos. We saw it when he scored the touchdown against Chicago, and then we saw it when he caught that pass from Trevor Siemian and then accelerated into the end zone, even though it got called back by a penalty. You know, it's just that kind of dynamic playmaking ability that I think will give D'Angelo Henderson the ability to shine in this kind of offense under Mike McCoy. And then, as you said it defensively, Jamal Carter is an absolute versatile player. I like to call him the utility man because he can play inside, he can play on the outside, and he can play safety, he can cover. And that makes you a very valuable asset for many teams in the NFL, and there's not many players that can do that. And he moved around in Chicago. We saw him move from inside backer to Sam backer to even safety, and he has the ability to play in the coverage in the slot. You know, that makes a guy like him hard to cut. And I think, you know, with competition brewing at major positions, you got Todd Davis, you know, banged up with an injury. You got Corey Nelson, who's underrated and fighting for a roster spot. I think he may get it. You know, you got some guys that are going to come in and be depthful on this defense and make an impact right away. And I think Jamal Carter, undrafted, is going to be one of those guys.
Yep.
So thank you so much, Chad Jensen, for joining me here on Locked On Broncos. You guys can catch Chad over at Mile High Huddle and the Huddle Up podcast. Very grateful to have him join me here tonight. You know, former host of Locked On Broncos. Very excited to be taking over and hopefully carrying on the important tradition that he's done over here on Locked On Broncos as well. So, Chad, I want to thank you for all your time that you've gathered and you've spent here today here on Locked On Broncos, talking all things Denver Broncos, Trevor Siemian, the quarterback battle, Shaq Barrett, and depth on this Broncos defense. I'm very grateful for you joining me.
My pleasure, Cody. Good luck to everything. I think the LOB is in good hands. So, Godspeed, my friend, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely. We'll be in touch, my man. Thank you very much.
All right, partner.
Want to thank Chad Jensen for joining me here on Locked On Broncos today. First episode, very excited to be part of here, and I hope every single one of you enjoys the show as well. Be sure to send out a tweet at Locked On Broncos, retweet the show, give us feedback. We absolutely love that. Leave us a review on our iTunes page, as well as stay tuned for LockedOnBroncos.com. In the meantime, be sure you head on over and follow Locked On NFL to cover all the latest podcast news regarding not just the Denver Broncos, but NFL league-wide news, analysis, and opinions. Head on over to Locked On NFL. Follow them over there. They do a great job. And I'm looking forward to the journey ahead here on Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. I look forward to engaging with all of you. And I hope your morning traffic commute, your midday rush, or your evening sitting outside enjoying the beautiful Rocky Mountain sunset is good. And I hope it's listening to Locked On Broncos.